Hello and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. This is Mike Moret, and today we are in our 13th study in the book of Genesis. We come today to Genesis chapter 13, and we begin our study in verse 14. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to your word today, in Jesus' name. Genesis 13:14, and the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward." God has a talk with Abram now that Lot is gone. Back when Abram was in Ur, his hometown, God promised him the land that he is now in. And now God wants Abram to take a good, long look at that land because he's going to repeat his promise. 15, "For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever." Abram can try to give some of that land away, like he did with Lot, his nephew. And I'm sure God will give him credit for generosity. But no matter what, God says that land belongs to Abraham and his offspring. Israel has offered to exchange some of her land for peace in recent years. And who knows, maybe someday it'll buy them a little bit of temporary peace anyway. But no matter how much they give away, as far as God is concerned, it still belongs to Israel. And one day they will possess it all, and they will have peace to boot. 16, "And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered." And now God repeats another promise to Abram. "Abram, you're going to have many descendants." And that's a very big promise to a man who's pushing 80, who doesn't even have one child yet, and whose wife is barren. 17, "Rise, walk in the land, through its length and its width, for I give it to you." Abram doesn't have to deed that land. Or I should say this, he doesn't have the deed to that land in his hand yet. He doesn't have the sales slip yet. But he does have God's promise. And that makes it as good as done. So God tells him to take a walk. Explore the land. Walk through this land that is yours. Walk through it as if it is yours, because I'm telling you that it is. 18. "Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord." Abram has God's promise and God's protection, and in response he gives to God his worship. Abram is living by faith. And he has received God's promises, and he is being unselfish by faith, and he is being generous by faith, and he is trusting that God will provide by faith. And when you live by faith and not by sight, when you trust the invisible God instead of material things or yourself, then it's a real good idea to stay in touch with God. And that's what Abram is doing with his worship. Chapter 14, verse 1. "And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elazar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that they made war with Bera, king of Sodom, Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, Shemember, king of Zeboim, and king of Bela, that is, Zoar. All these joined together in the valley of Siddim, that is the Salt Sea." And so there is a big war here. It is not just one king versus another king. It is four against five. Four kings on one side versus five kings on the other side. And by the way, in case you didn't notice, one of the places the four kings attacked was Sodom. Remember that place? That's where Lot had chosen to live. 4. 12 years they served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. Why did those four kings attack Sodom and her allies? Because Sodom and company were so sick of being ruled by those four kings that they rebelled. And when they rebelled, the four kings attacked in order to force them to submit. And I am sure also to teach them a lesson. And I'm not going to read verses 5 through 7, but I will say this. The four kings and their armies set off for war. And boy, did they ever do some damage even along the way. Archaeology studies show that every city and village along this path, the path of those four kings, had been plundered, left in ruins, and the people either killed or taken away as slaves. And so then we come down to verse 8. And notice, verse 8 says, "And the king of Sodom, the king of Gomorrah, the king of Admah, the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, that is Zoar, went out and joined together in battle in the valley of Siddim." Verse 9, "against Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, Tidal, king of nations, Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Eleazar." Four kings against five. "Now the valley of Siddim was full of asphalt pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled. Some fell there, and the remainder fled to the mountains." The soldiers fought out in the asphalt pits. Noah sealed his ark with this type of asphalt. The Tower of Babel was built with bricks and this asphalt. Asphalt pits were the battleground also in this war. And it didn't go well for the rebels either. Some of Sodom and Gomorrah's soldiers fell into the pits, and those left took off running for the mountains, leaving the citizens of their cities wide open to attack. So notice what happened in verse 11. "And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their provisions and went their way. They also took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed." Well, someone says, well, how could God allow Lot to be taken away captive like that? Lot was living with the wicked people of Sodom of his own free will. He must have enjoyed certain parts of being there. And if you're going to hang out in Sodom, you're going to get captured just like the Sodomites. And if a believer today lives like the world and does what the world does, then they will suffer the same problems the unsaved world suffers. Lot is getting what his poor decision was asking for. Verse 13, "Then one who had escaped came and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre." Somebody came and told Abram what had happened. And believe me, that spells trouble for those kings who took Lot. Because you don't mess with Abram or his relative. Even a selfish relative like Lot. Lot doesn't deserve any help. He set himself up for this when he moved to that filthy city. But Abram will help Lot because Abram is gracious. Lot did not honor his uncle. But Abram doesn't hold a grudge. Look at the last part of verse 13. It says, "For he dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, and brother of Aner, and they were allies with Abram. Now when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his house and went in pursuit as far as Dan." Abram was a man of faith. He was a religious guy. but he was also ready to fight in defense of what was right. And Abram went looking for the enemy, and he found them in a place called Dan. Dan was about 140 miles from home. That's a long way to pursue an enemy in a tank or a jeep. Abram did it on a camel. 15. He divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods, and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. The initial attack by Abram against these kings went very well, I'd say, but some escaped. So Abram and his army had to chase them down. He actually chased them another 100 miles before he caught them and with them. So Abram rescues Lot and the others, and all the goods that were taken from Sodom as well. Verse 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Sheva, that is, the king's valley, after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him. Abram is given a hero's welcome, and he should be treated like a hero. He was a brave guy who put his life on hold and his life on the line to help a nephew who didn't respect him and others who he didn't even know. 18. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of the God Most High. Now don't ask me who this Melchizedek was or where he came from, because no one knows. I do know that he worshipped the one true God. And not only did he worship the one true God, he was also a priest of the true God. Look at verse 19. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." Abram paid Melchizedek 1/10 of all the plunder he had just won in the war. Abram's tithe was given, not out of law, but out of gratitude. Melchizedek was God's priest, so Abram gave him this gift in thanks to God for the victory that God gave him in battle. See, giving to God is a way for us to say, "Lord, I know that any success I have and any wealth I have come from you, and I just want to say thanks." 21. Now the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the persons and take the goods for yourself." This morally depraved king of Sodom tries to make a deal with Abram. He says, "Keep all the material things that you have brought back for us." 22. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. Keeping all those things may have sounded good, but Abram learned the hard way not to be led by what sounds good. So Abram immediately filters this offer through what he knows about God. And notice verse 22 again. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, 'I have made Abram rich,' except only what the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men who went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them take their portion." When you walk with God, He often gives you the ability to see beneath the surface of things. That's what He did for Abram here. Abram is not a foolish fish which grabs at the first shiny object that comes along. Let me tell you something. According to custom, Abram would have been subject to the king of Sodom if he would have taken these things. But even beyond that, if he takes these things, then the king probably goes around telling everyone that he made Abram wealthy, not God. And there is no way that Abram's going to let anyone use him to steal credit from God, even if it cost him something, like all these riches. He won't let it happen. Well, that's it for this time. We'll pick up our study in chapter 15 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.